plate a potential nugget.
And talking about growing habits, when is a point where we can start thinking about moving from a tiny habit to a big change? How long should we keep it tiny? What does your research show?
Well, the surprising answer is you can do it day one. You can do a bigger version of the habit anytime that you want. But the key with tiny habits is you set the bar low and you keep it low. You can always go way over the bar if you want and count it as extra credit, but you don't have to. For the years I've been flossing 2 times a day, there are some days I just floss one tooth and I move on. And I do not consider that a failure. I consider it a big success. It's like, oh, something was going on. Maybe I was really distracted or busy or just not in the mood. I still got the habit done. Good for me. So the idea in tiny habits is not start tiny and then raise the bar. It's not that. Just too many journalists and people writing about tiny habits and that's not how it's done. You set the bar low and you keep it low, but you will find that you will naturally do more and more. But you don't raise the bar even so. You just keep thinking of yourself as a superstar, as the A-plus student who is overachieving continually. And that takes a mindset shift, especially for high achievers who are used to raise the bar and you just keep going higher and higher. And so it really is a skill. This is one of the skills I talk about in the book, is to set the bar low and keep it low and actually be good with underachieving and being okay on those days you can just floss one tooth, being okay with that and not feeling bad, but feeling positive. That reaction is a skill. And so for the high achievers out there listening, this concept may surprise you, but this is how you make habits. Aren't really about the size of the habit. It's about the consistency of the habit. And as long as you're being consistent, you can do a bigger version anytime. So you really, really want to get the consistency nailed. Do more when you want to. And when you don't want to or can't, just do the tiny version and keep it consistent.
Got it. This is a profound point that BJ makes. A lot of people, I would include myself here, often fall victim to the habit and become its slaves without realizing. Devdutt Patnaik makes the point in quite a provocative but an effective way.
See, this concept of habits is a Western idea. It comes, habit is a bad word in Indian philosophy. It's a bad word. Therefore, you're continuously, another word for habit is conditioned. I'm conditioned to do it. Conditioning, that's a Pavlovian response, right? A dog has a habit of salivating whenever the bell rings. And the West has made it a virtue. Action without thought is habit. Repetitive action without thought is habit. And if you look at many of the cultures in the West, they are like domesticated animals. At a particular time, they'll get up and run. At a particular time, they'll get up. So they are on a treadmill all the time. And this is seen as virtue. You know, driving in the car with a coffee in your hand. Nobody sees in America that this is tragedy. It's a tragedy. You can't enjoy your coffee. You can't enjoy your drive. You have glamorized slavery. You have glamorized slavery and nobody sees it because you are all the Gurujis in their white coats with their chin, the fist on the chin photographs, you know, those photographs that you see are telling you, therefore it must be right. Nobody's questioning what is the habit. And habit has been somehow projected as a good thing. Indian thought is all about awareness. It's all about awareness. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you not doing what you're not doing? And once you're aware, then you realize what is of value to you and what is not of value to you. So you are not in a habit, then breaking habits becomes difficult. And then breaking habit becomes, there are good habits, there are bad habits. Habits are good and bad depending on context. You know, so you will find people behaving, that's why I always find, you know, when expats come to India, they have a tough time because the habit is suddenly in this new context, they don't know. Because, oh my God, there is no place to run. There is no place to, oh my God, they don't have this thing. Because the habit, right, they become the animal. You have become like an animal. And habit really goes to the lower part of your brain, not the upper part of your brain. And your habit is about avoiding life. You do habits like, it's an addiction.
It's like autopilot.
It's an autopilot. No, and it's addictive. Like I have a habit of writing, but it's addiction. If I don't write, I get withdrawal symptoms, which means I've trained my body to be in pain when I don't do it and to get pleasure when I do it. And I'm not aware of it. I'm just doing it mechanically. So we are an awareness culture. Awareness, 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 not habit culture. Habit culture, empathy goes away.
Devdutt speaks about the role of awareness versus habits and how we should not become slave to the habit. That still leaves us figuring out how we build good habits while being aware. Instead of seeing this as either or, is there a way we can combine the two and get the benefits from it? Here's where we turn to the Japanese for inspiration. One of my earlier guests, James Clear, author of the book Atomic Habits, speaks about something that he observed in Japanese train stations.
There's this method, which is called pointing and calling, that I think helps raise our level of awareness about our current habits. And once we become aware of our habits, then we can change them. Then we can start to more meaningfully adjust them. So the story, and I actually saw this when I went to Tokyo. If you walk around Tokyo and go to a train station, what you'll see is this interesting pattern where when the train pulls into the station, the conductor will point at like a signal and say the signal is green, or they'll point at the speedometer and say the speedometer is 30 kilometers an hour. Outside on the platform, other employees are doing similar things. They're pointing up and down the platform and they'll say platform is clear. The cleaning staff, even as they walk onto the train in between sessions to clean it off, take the trash out and so on, they'll point at each car and, you know, say car is clean or trash is clear, things like that. And the purpose of this is that for anybody who does the same kind of job over and over again, like a train conductor pulling into the station, it becomes kind of automatic that, you know, it becomes habitual. And so it's very easy to overlook your mistakes. And so by pointing and calling, by literally physically pointing and saying out loud what you're doing, you're raising the level of awareness of the action. And you people don't use the phrase pointing and calling, but you can see them do this kind of thing all the time in daily life. So for example, I have a friend who she'll leave the garage door up accidentally sometimes. And so now every time she pulls out of her garage, she points at the door and says, garage door is down. Or when you're getting ready to go on a trip or leave your house for a few days, you might double check everything and say, I have my keys, I have my glasses, I have my wallet. And you're like touching them in your pockets while you're doing that. And so those are all examples of pointing and calling to try to double check, to raise the awareness, to be aware, more aware of what we're doing. And if you want, you can actually use that same strategy when you're trying to build or break habits. So for example, if you want to stop snacking, when you reach into the cupboard to get out a cookie or go to the pantry to get out a snack, you could say, I'm about to eat this cookie and I don't want to because I'm trying to stop snacking. And just the act of saying that out loud before you do it might be enough to prevent you from it. It sounds silly. It sounds a little like over the top to do it. But it can be a very useful strategy early on so that you become more aware of your behavior.
I guess the long and short of the point I want to make here is that while we often glorify building habits, we forget the criticality of building awareness. Like BJ says, being aware gives us the ability to ramp up or ramp down a habit, depending on the circumstances, without being obsessed by it. Habit is a bit like the engine of an automobile, where awareness is like the steering wheel, without which you could end up crashing your Formula One car when you see a bend in the road. Thank you for listening. If you find this of value, do take a moment to visit the podcast archives at playtopotential.com. You might specifically like the section Curated Playlists, where about 500 plus podcast nuggets have been painstakingly curated by theme for easy access.